from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
The exclusive sponsor of Grant and Danny is the law firm Condori and Murad. They will guide you and your family in the right direction by helping you to draft your will, set up a revocable trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. This isn't the fun stuff, but it is important, and they will make it seamless. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you so that you can get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. The big Nationals news of the day. We brought you this earlier today on Grant and Danny. Dylan Cruz will make his major league debut on Monday night at Nationals Park. He and James Wood will both be playing in that game with Juan Soto and the New York Yankees in town. Should be a pretty epic night. We'll cover that, the NFL, the Commanders, all coming up in the Beltway Blitz, which starts in moments. But as promised, caller 10, 800-636-1067. Congrats, you're winning a pair of tickets to see Jason Aldean, Highway Desperado Tour 2024, Friday, August 30th, a week from today, Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events. Congrats to the winners. Let's go to our Beltway Blitz.
The Washington Nationals.
We start with Bobby Blanco of massinsports.com, our good buddy. Bobby, what a scene Monday night could be. James Wood, Dylan Cruz, Juan Soto in the house from the Yankees. Going to be a nice night at Nats Park.
Yeah, happy day that Grant broke the news that Dylan Cruz is going to make his Major League debut on Monday day. It's going to be super exciting. I don't really think it is a coincidence that he's going to come up while they face the Yankees. I do think that there was some calculation behind this move. We saw them do this with James Wood, right? It leaked out the weekend before he made his debut on July 1st. They probably want to do the same thing where every fan has a chance to go buy tickets, get into their seats on Monday night. I think Monday is the first day of school for some kids around here, but hopefully some parents will let them stay out a little late to go see Dylan Cruz play Juan Soto and the Yankees. It's going to be super exciting. I think we've been waiting for this for a couple months now, ever since James did come up. Dylan kind of followed the path with James. I mean, he played a similar amount of games in Rochester, got more at-bats, actually, and he's been hot as of late. Over this last month, he's hitting over 300, a couple of bombs, some big bombs as well. So he's just a guy that I think elevates his game to the level of play he's playing at. I mean, we know that he's double-A, but he played a lot better when he got to triple-A. This guy is just meant to play underneath the spotlight. So Monday night against the Yankees at home, with James Wood in the outfield with him, with Juan Soto in the opposite dugout, I think is going to be a big spotlight for him, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Bobby, fast forward to the year 2027, right? You're Bobby Blanco in the future now. You're still very handsome, still very young. You have a metabolism, right? But you're predicting the future now. Who's in center field? Who's in left field? And who's in right field for the Washington Nationals?
That is such a good question, and I'm glad we don't have to answer it too much right now. But looking into my crystal ball, I think ideally, you have Dylan Cruz playing center field, and you have James Wood still in left. I think if they wanted to move to James to right at some point, that would have already happened. Obviously, Dylan's going to come up and probably play right field with Jacob Young in center. I know everyone wants to point to the fact that Juan Soto's going to be a free agent after this year. Let's kind of trot out all of our top prospects and show him how good that this young national team is about to be. Maybe he'll give the Nationals a fighting chance this offseason. A lot of things have to happen for that to come true. I think that also could be a part of it. But if I'm looking at 2 years down the line, 3 years down the line, the outfield is definitely going to be Jameson Love. I think Dylan moves to center at some point. While Jacob Young is a gold glove, maybe even platinum glove caliber center fielder, I think Dylan is just a better overall player. He brings a better bat profile. And so I think you have to play him in center. Maybe a big free agency signing like a Juan Soto or someone else is in right field. So that would be pretty crazy if we saw those three guys back in Nationals uniforms playing in that outfield in the coming season.
Bobby, two more timely pressing matters today. Mackenzie Gore pitches for the Nats in Atlanta coming up 7:20 first pitch this evening. I'm interested in this because Gore's had a treacherous second half, obviously. He's got all the stuff in the world, projects to maybe be their number two starter long-term moving ahead. But it just hasn't gone well lately. I thought he showed some signs of life, though. He pitched much, much better first two times through the order, his last start. Did you see those same encouraging signs that I did? And just how critical is this outing for him as he's trying to get his season back on track?
Yeah, I did see those same signs. I was in Philly for his last start, and he was great through five. Held them to one run over five innings. The sixth inning kind of fell apart for him. He gave up four runs. But after the game, him, Davey Martinez, all the guys sounded very confident that he did a lot of good things in that outing, better things. They worked on him in his bullpen session leading up to that start, made some changes, trying to get him, you know, obviously to throw more strikes, but more quality strikes, get low in the zone. David Martinez always mentions, you know, whenever he's up in the zone, that's when he gets in trouble, and that's what happened in that sixth inning against the Phillies. He started getting the ball up, they started seeing it up, and they started smacking it, so he's got to stay low in the zone. He does have two wins over the Braves so far this season. You know, obviously, they dealt with a lot of injuries, but that's still a difficult lineup to navigate. So he has had some success against them this year. Ideally, he comes away tonight with another solid outing and tries to, like, finish his season on a high note.
Bobby, Patrick Corbin was good yesterday. 100th career win. I know the numbers, he gets beat up for him, and understandably, hasn't produced at a very high level, you know, even with that big contract. But to me, he means more than that to this team and to this roster. Go into that a little bit for what, kind of his role with some of these young pitchers.
Yeah, I said this a lot. I think, you know, it is easy to kick Patrick Corbin when he's already kind of been down the past couple of seasons, but, you know, being in that clubhouse pretty much on a daily basis, being around the guys, he is still a very vocal presence in there and a good leader for some of these guys like Mackenzie Gore to look up to. Obviously, you know, we don't want Mackenzie Gore, Josiah Gray, Jake Irvin, Mitchell Parker, DJ Hurst to have, you know, the kind of seasons that Patrick has had since the World Series. But it's more of the durability, the taking care of your body in between starts, preparation. You know, of all the things that we talk about Patrick Corbin, he does give them innings and he does make every start every 5 days. So that is something to be said for him. And I think a lot of the younger guys see that in him and talk about, like, three of those guys I just mentioned are young left-handed pitchers. So they can learn a lot from Patrick Corbin, who has had success. It's been a while now, but he has had success up at this level. So, yes, none of these past couple, five, 6 years have gone the way the Nationals wanted to or Patrick wanted to, but he has played a role off the field in that clubhouse, an important one too.
Bobby Blanco, MassinSports.com. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Happy birthday, Danny. Day.
Thank you, pal.
Day. Birthday. Day. Let's talk football.
The NFL.
Mike Jones of The Athletic covers NFL. And he joins us now on G&D. Mike, I don't think Drake May really has a chance to start. I think that story is much ado about nothing. Jacoby Brissett will get another start against Washington in the final preseason game. What say you?
Yeah, no, I think that they will go with Jacoby Brissett as their starter, give Drake May a little bit of time to, you know, continue to develop and learn this game. Jacoby Brissett is a very solid veteran that's going to give him a chance to come out there and compete. I don't know where exactly they're going to stack up in their division, but it just, you know, you don't want to throw a kid to the wolves when you're still trying to build the rest of your team around him. So I think Brissett's the guy.
The big news here last 24 hours, Mike, is obviously the trade of Jahan Dotson. I want to go to the other end of that trade, though, with Philadelphia. I think everybody kind of wrote them off. Understandable. That end-of-season car crash last year was so bad that, you know, staff turnover, some players are going to be different, a lot of stuff's going to be different. Still got some pretty good nuts and bolts and some bones there in Philadelphia, and nobody wins this division back-to-back. I think Philly is poised for another really good season, and now they added a decent slot receiver there for a third rounder. What do you think about the Eagles?
Oh, no, I think that the Eagles are going to win this division. I think that the biggest problem with them last year was not personnel, was that Nick Sirianni didn't further evolve his offense. They started out, you know, I think they were like 9-1. They were winning games, but there was always something that felt a little bit wrong. And then it felt like the defenses caught on to what they were trying to do offensively. And Brian Johnson was the scapegoat. Jalen Hurts also got a lot of criticism, but it was Nick Sirianni's offense. And he knew that because he basically fired himself as the offense coordinator and brought in Kellen Moore. I think that he's going to be good for that offense. They've added Saquon Barkley, so you're going to have a stronger run game, ease some pressure on Jalen Hurts. Don't think we'll see a bunch of those rugby scrum tush pushes as much as we did last year, every 3rd-and-1 or 4th-and-1 or 4th-and, you know, goal and inches. I think that also, yeah, adding Jahan Dotson will be good because, look, you've got two monsters on the outside with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. And they've got young guys up front on their defensive front. They got young guys in the back end. It might take a little bit for those guys to all come together in that secondary. But look at everybody else in the division. Dallas is, you know, got crazy stuff going on. They don't have all their guys in camp and happy with their contract situations. The Giants are, you know, very far away from being competitive. And so I think that, you know, Washington's, you know, they're building, but the Eagles are the ones that are in the best shape to win that division and I think make some noise in the NFC.
Mike, how would you rank the three rookie quarterbacks that have been named starters already? Williams, Daniels, Nix, as far as your expectations for how they perform as rookies?
Well, I think in that order that you just said right there, I think Williams is definitely the most NFL ready. He's got a lot to work with. He's got veteran wide receivers. He's got a talented rookie wide receiver. He's got a very good offensive line they've put in front of him. They've got guys on the big playmakers on the defensive side of the ball at the up front and in their secondary. So he's got the most to work with. Jaden Daniels has been, you know, has shown some good things for sure in the preseason, but, you know, they're still a work in progress. It's offensive line, you know, the wide receiver position on defense. And so I think he's going to do well. They might take their lumps here and there. And then Bo Nix, I think, you know, he's looked good in the preseason, but nobody's game planning for him. So once defensive coordinators have some game film, they're dissecting his weaknesses, I expect him to struggle a little bit. And so, yeah, I don't expect a whole lot out of Denver this year. And, you know, we'll see with Chicago. They're in a tough division, but I think Williams is going to put up numbers and look like a veteran when he goes out there to play.
Who starts more games, Russell Wilson or Justin Fields?
I think it might be very close split there. Russell Wilson's going to be your starter, but I'll be surprised if it's mid-October, early November, and they haven't made a switch to Justin Fields. I know Mike Tomlin is determined to prove that he can get more out of Russell Wilson than what Sean Payton did. And he keeps on standing on, hey, he's our pole position guy. And they feel good about the offense they're going to put around him. But I just am not sure. And I think Justin Fields has shown some flash and shown some things with his youth and athleticism that might help them a little bit more. And so that's why I think that he will wind up finishing this year as their starter and being their quarterback of the future.
Jonesy, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you as always.
All right, see you guys.
See you, buddy.
Be good, my friend. All of our Commanders coverage locally during training camps presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Let's talk to our buddy, Eric Bickle.
The Washington Commanders.
From Sports Junkies fame, EB, what'd you make of the Jahan Dotson trade?
Well, I was initially shocked, believe it or not. I mean, we all heard sort of the rumblings, you could see the writing on the wall that they weren't thrilled with his production. But I have to say I was shocked that they moved him. But when it's all said and done, I think at this point they still deserve the benefit of the doubt, so I trust them and I'm okay with it. But I was definitely shocked, to be honest with you.
EB, here's my working theory, right? I don't think the receiver room was particularly good outside of Terry McLaurin. I think they don't care about that. I think they need guys that are going to block. I think they don't care if it's like, I think it's going to be like 2012 where their number two was Joshua Morgan or somebody else. They want guys on the outside to engage, and maybe the guy that catches the second most passes on the outside is, say, Zacchaeus. They're going to run through Eckler and McLaurin and Ertz and guys like that. That's kind of what I'm working with. What are your thoughts?
No, I mean, I think that that's true. There's no doubt about it. They want a complete receiver, willing to do all the dirty work. That's why they like Diami, probably, because he's willing to do anything. Zacchaeus honestly has popped. I mean, he looks like he can do the job. It's not an outstanding room, but the only quip I have is with our good friend Barry Sfaluga, who I think is outstanding. I currently think he's, like, the best in town. His idea is that this just signals that they know that they're going to stink and they're just going to move on and get assets. Part of that's true. They wanted to get assets for him. But I don't think this is an indictment necessarily, and this coincides with what Danny's saying, on the team. I think it's just an indictment on Jahan. Jahan's a nice guy by all accounts. They just didn't think his skill set fit what they were doing, and they didn't think they were missing much by moving on from him. So I don't think they think that they're worse off getting rid of him.
Mm. What's your confidence in Cliff Kingsbury to solve the riddle that is fixing and improving a lot of the guys in this offense and getting the most out of Daniels?
It's better than anybody since Jay.
Okay.
If that means anything to you. I really like Jay. I think Jay's unbelievable. It didn't really work out as a head coach or whatever, but man, you know, he could
scheme up offense. Yeah.
And he's freaking hysterical, so I'm so biased. I think Cliff's the smart guy. I think he's going to figure this out. I think he's had plenty of experience. I trust him. I actually do trust him. I'm not worried about the stuff that they say. Oh, he's only lining up Perry. You know what? They're not showing you anything yet. You know, he's learned. He's evolved. He's a smart guy. He's done this his whole life. I have confidence, actually, and largely it's because of Jaden. To be honest with you, I think he's going to make everybody look better.
You're speaking of confidence. Give me the area of the squad. This is, again, dealer's choice here, Eric. Area of the squad, element, team, thing, whatever. You're most confident in and thing that you are least confident in heading into the season.
Ooh. Okay. You know what? Most confident in Jaden Daniels being the real deal. That may be bizarre, but I do think he's the real deal. Least confident, corners. I just think that's pretty obvious. The offensive line is obviously a huge question mark, but if Jaden keeps getting rid of the ball at one point, the corner situation is worrisome.
EB, we appreciate you as always, buddy. Thank you. What do you got on the docket this weekend? Your phone's breaking up a bunch. Say it again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's all good.
I'm sorry. All right, be good, guys.
What are you doing this weekend?
We want to know now.
Hear the answer.
Oh, drink.
Drink.
What else is there to do?
Drinking, yeah, drinking.
Well, you're a golf guy now. You're like all in on golfing, it seems like.
Well, I just came inside from hitting balls. Yeah.
How's the swing looking?
Swing's fine, but it's just golf. Golf's like really hard. So you can think you're friggin' Tiger Woods one swing, and then you're the worst player ever the next.
That's ridiculous. I think there's no sport on the planet that is made to look easier by the experts. I'm not saying like hitting a baseball is not hard or whatever, but nothing looks easier with the consistency with which they do things than going out and golfing. I'll take 100 swings or 140, and I'll have like 6 good ones, and I'm like, I'm coming back.
I'm really good at this. Yeah.
And then I just suck so bad.
Yeah, no, it's so true. But you know what? If you really, really watch closely too, even the best, Tiger will shank one every once in a while. You know, Scottie Scheffler will hit one off the hosel. It's a maddening sport. It's maddening, but it's just sort of that pursuit that keeps bringing us back, right? That feeling that you get when you do smush one. Oh, so great.
Yeah, even me, I'm terrible. Like, you wouldn't golf with me. I'm really bad. But when I go golfing and I play, like, best ball or whatever in a tournament a couple times a year for charity or whatever, in my round, I'll hit, like, 2 or 3 balls where I'm like, I think I could get good at golf.
Well, like, every time I play, I'm like, I should do this all the time. Which you can't. How can anyone do it all the time?
Well, when your kids get older, Danny, actually, you can do it quite a bit.
Well, I don't know what he's talking about. He plays pickleball 6 hours a day.
Yeah, but
he could find a time to play some golf.
It's not. It's not a 9-hour commitment 45 minutes away on a weekend. Like, that's different.
Well, what's better? What else are you going to do? I mean, once your kids grow up and everything, well, what else am I going
to
do?
Well, you got to go to all their college games, man. You're nothing but college scholarships out there at the Bickle House.
D1 athletes left and right.
I just hope someone makes the middle school team in my house.
I just want to know, how many of your kids are going to be in the 28 Olympics in L.A.?
Zero, I promise.
I mean,
negative zero.
I don't know. You got sillies left and right.
No, you guys are sweet. They're good kids.
See you,
thank
buddy.
You guys. Have a great weekend.
You too, buddy.
Be good. That's our buddy Eric Bickle.
Yeah,
that show, by the way, has a chance. These Junkies,
it's
have you
new.
Heard them yet?
Yeah, they got chemistry.
I don't know how they did it, but they got something going.
You don't see that very often, like a new show with four guys on it.
Yeah.
And they do that.
And I don't think they've ever met before. They just threw them in the studio together.
Yeah.
Really an amazing concept.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give Chris Kinard credit.
You do.
Jahan Dotson is a Philadelphia Eagle. The Commanders now move forward. Will they make a wide receiver move before the season starts that matters, or is this basically the group? Let's get into that next on Grant and Danny.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
If you missed Santana Moss, that interview will be archived for you at thefandc.com when we are done today. GrantandDanny.com/audio to listen to our entire program. Before we get into the wide receiver room and what kind of moves might be available to Washington as they move forward without Jahan Dotson, we did not mention this on air at all, and it just kind of dawned on us again during a break today that we hadn't brought this up, and it's definitely worth talking about. So yesterday, we're on the Nats postgame show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend like we're wearing suits and ties when we do that, but it's a little bit more buttoned up.
Yeah,
I would say there's not the same amount of leeway. Nobody tells us what to talk about, what we can say, what we can't say. But it's a network post-game show on the Nationals radio network. And so we break the game down. We say who did things well and who didn't and what was good and what was bad. And then we say goodbye. We're not going to be grading people's lunches, what are you eating style, like we do on Grant and Danny.
Sure.
We're not going to be picking football games. It's not our normal radio show. It's just us talking about baseball on the network. But I say this to tell you that during one of the commercial breaks, during that post-game show that we did yesterday, two guys walk up to us, and they were probably, if I had to guess, I would say maybe like 27 to 30 years old.
Yeah, 30 is what I had in mind.
The one guy is in a good mood, definitely enjoyed his afternoon. He's laughing a lot. He's jovial, very pleasant.
Yes.
And he is very excited to walk up and say to us, this is my buddy. He taps his buddy on the shoulders, like looking down at the ground and seemingly wobbly. And he said, I just wanted you guys to know that he just accomplished the 999 challenge, which is to go to a baseball game over nine innings, eat nine hot dogs, and drink nine beers. Now, immediately when he said that, Danny, I don't know what you were thinking. I did not believe him at all.
I did.
As soon as he said that this guy did that?
Yep.
I did not. Nobody can do that. Nine innings, nine beers, nine hot dogs. Just the thought of it is repulsive. Makes you want to throw up. It would be borderline impossible.
Well, it made him want to throw up, too. And that's why I believed it. I've never seen anyone look grosser and more ready to puke. And like they're standing there. They seem like very nice guys. I didn't want them to stand there anymore. Because I thought any second, this dude is going to puke where we have to sit and do the show.
I tweeted out a picture of this guy. You should go check it out if you want, at Grant H. Paulson. His name was Max. I'm looking at the pictures now.
Yeah.
I took about six pictures of this dude. I posted like the two most flattering. His eyes are closed in both of them.
Yeah.
He's like looking down toward the ground. In one of them, he's clearly in visible pain. Looks like he's either in the middle of going to the bathroom in his pants, and or he just got kicked in the shin. But this is where immediately I started to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is out on his feet wobbly, okay? His buddy is walking him around as his chaperone. Quite literally grabbing his shoulder like, hey, buddy, we're going to go this way. Now, he did stop to, like, joan on him and slap him in the back of the head and talk to us and do skits and bits. But he consented. I said, I don't know if he was in his right mind to consent, but they wanted me to, like, post that he had done it. And I was like, and I'm going to take a picture of you. Is that cool? And the guy was like, huh? And I was like, I'm going to take a picture of you. And he's, like, staring at the guy. And he's like, yeah, please do that. And I'm like, I'm going to post it online. He's like, yeah, you got it, man. Yeah, you should do that.
There you go. Okay, buddy, smile. And he didn't move.
He thinks in his mind he's smiling.
He's like, I'm smiling with the back of my face.
I think he was smiling. But I'm telling you, I went from there's zero chance this guy accomplished this to within 2 seconds of looking at him, seeing the pain.
Yep.
He kept getting doubled over. He looked like an NBA player in the 47th minute of a game, like hands on knees. At one point, he was down on one knee.
Looked like LeBron after a touch foul. Like it was bad.
K-Bert Ruiz, new style catching to try to help frame him a little bit. Like, he's on one knee. I mean, it was so brutal.
Yeah.
And he was, at one point, kind of using the table where we were sitting.
Yes.
To, like, help himself just stand there. Like, trying to talk to us. He wasn't really saying anything. In his mind, he might have been. But his buddy was doing all the talking. He did it. We started at the bullpen for the first inning or two to save some money. They don't have the small cans of beer, the normal ones, so they had to do the tall boys and going through the whole rigmarole of how he did it and paced himself. And like you said, at one point, Danny kind of, I could tell with your eyes, was like, I don't want this person here.
Right. And it's,
at any moment, we're going to get a shower.
And I feel horrible about that because they were very nice. This is not hopefully they didn't take offense to my sort of perceived disinterest or otherwise.
Yeah, I was like dragging on the conversation, getting information. And you were going, get this person away from me.
Because, I don't know how to say this in a nicer way, he looked like any second was the second. And they were leaving the ballpark. We had another 2.5 hours, you and I did, to do our regular radio program alone in a ballpark.
Oh, can you imagine?
And yes, I imagine it right then, in that moment, I'm going, take it on down the line. Now's a good time to go. Hey, the exit's that way. Like, please stop. But, so, my view of it, If you're in the ballpark, we're behind the little red toaster, right? Grant's sitting to my left. I'm on the right. I have a little bit of a better angle of watching approaches from that side, right, from your side, because I can look across you a little bit easier, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
I saw them coming around the bend. He took a wide turn. Do you know what I mean? The drunk guy. And I go, that's, in my mind, note to self, that person's intoxicated. Totally fine. Growing up, do what you do.
You see them, you're like, that guy's struggling to get out of the ballpark.
Yeah, like, that guy's having a tough time, and his buddy's carrying him. And then the dude comes over, is like making eye contact with us as we're kind of getting ready to jump on for the postgame, you know, looking up the whatever numbers or, you know, the box score, Patrick Corbin's 100th win, and who did what when. And he's like, are you guys on right now? And we're like, no, in a second. And he's so excited about this. Like, his buddy did it. And the buddy that did it, looks like he just lost a UFC fight, but there's no visible bruising.
Bro, he did it for a day game. A Thursday 1 o'clock day game.
Like, his day wasn't over?
At 1:05, he's cracking that first beer and having that first dog. We saw him walking out at 4:30 or whatever it was in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. All I've thought about all day, what does that guy feel like today? What death does he feel like today? I was so lucky for the vast majority of my entire life. I never had a hangover. I don't know how.
That's the most unbelievable thing to me, by the way.
I know. But I will say, the last time I got really, really stupid, we'll call it that guy, okay?
Was it at our holiday party?
It was.
Yeah.
And it was the most hungover.
What did you have? Did you have the Scotchy Scotch or did you have the bourbons?
No. I had all of the old fashioned.
Yeah, you did.
And then me and your brother-in-law were drinking something with, like, cracked eggs in it for some reason. Do you remember that?
I do now.
Yeah, they were, like, pouring, like, it was like a raw egg they put in a drink. It was disgusting. Whatever it was a bad decision.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Just ask the Uber driver. It was not.
Did you get that little surcharge that comes?
No. We didn't get that. But he made a pit stop on the way home.
Did he?
I'll tell you. And I'm like, I'm too old for this. This is not the way I should be living my life. But yeah, that was before COVID, I guess. It was your last big Rouvier party, make some bad decisions event. That was the night I met the uncle that I got into it with on the radio.
That's right. Where I was just a passenger there. Before I could say anything, it was too late.
Oh, I'm sure that was the problem.
Well, that's what happened. I mean, I had no idea. Because normally it's like, I don't know when to interrupt it, because then it's like, hey, it's my Uncle Jim. Yeah, my wife's Uncle Jim is on the phone. And then he's, God bless him, he's a wonderful man.
He is nice.
He has the occasional, hot take doesn't cover it. He has the center of the nuclear reaction, scalding fission take. Like 1980s Chernobyl level text.
But I just like that you didn't think at any point maybe you'd let me know, hey, that's my uncle you're getting into it with.
By the time the going into, like, I thought he was like, hey, you here's my idea. Why don't they do a trade, or like, why don't they shuffle up this, or have go with an opener? He wanted to send Gio Gonzalez to the minors. That was his solution. And God bless him. I explained to him at the last time we hung out, the last gathering. That's not an option. Like, literally, it's not an option. You can't do that. There are a million reasons why, but it's not a thing. And he went there and then wouldn't... Oh, man. And I just sat idly by. And I had to tell you during the commercial break, that was my wife's uncle that just called.
Hey, Grant. That was my uncle. I'm like, what? They're like, that guy was my uncle. I'm like, No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, I think it was. I think it was.
You didn't know. You think it might be.
Here's the truth. I did the I think.
Yeah.
I knew, but I said I think.
But I bring that up to say that's the worst feeling in the world.
Uh-huh.
The next day.
Yep.
And this is worse than that. He did 9 beers and 9 hot dogs.
Yeah.
So diving into the comments for a second, J.P. Finley said, that looks like a dude that drank 9 beers, but more so ate 9 hot dogs. Walters, the sports bar right across from the ballpark, said, I hope he skipped our bathroom after the game, which is very funny.
Yeah, they were moving towards the center field gate, thankfully. Had they gone out right by us, he might have seen you.
He might have been in the clear.
He was not going to double back. You know what I mean? Because he was moving towards center, thank God.
Hokey Pillow says, at 1 p.m. on a Thursday? Legend.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the part that I think gets slept on a little bit. Why am I just learning this as a thing? Jake, I don't know, man. A lot of people have been talking about
it. It's been out there, buddy.
What was the time of game, GP? The pitch clock really affects the 999. It's a good point.
It is a great question.
It's pretty quick-moving game.
So, but until some crooked numbers went up towards the end, because it was cruising, if you remember.
It was.
Through like 5 or 6. But that phenomenon, again, this has been forever ago. But as a collegian, they used to do these bar crawls in some of the various neighborhoods. There was a Foggy Bottom one, DuPont Circle, et cetera. So I would, in my dorm room, wake up early and make the whole team pancakes. So you'd load up on something to be able to absorb the beer, and you go and get your wristband, and then we went to all the Georgetown. So it's the third edition and the exchange, and then, the Tequila Timmy's or whatever, odds, all the different places, and you'd be hammered by 1 p.m., like drunk off your, And then you can't stay up anymore. And then you kind of like half wake up at like, and it's like 6 o'clock that same day, and you're hungover the same day when you were day drinking in the morning.
Is the Wharf the new Georgetown? This is my new theory.
Yes.
I don't think Georgetown's Georgetown.
Georgetown's
anymore.
Not a thing anymore, really.
Exactly. Yeah. I think the Wharf, that waterfront beautiful area, because I was at a rooftop bar recently, I think that's the new Georgetown.
It's the new Georgetown.
No, it's not the new Georgetown. But actually, I had a friend of a friend do the 999 challenge, and the next day he actually had to get his stomach pumped at the hospital. So if you guys remember, you guys were actually trying to like kind of throwing this out there for me, like, hey,
but you
like,
could do it.
That, and I was like,
gonna ask you if you were interested in trying it on Monday night for Dylan Cruz's debut.
No chance. No chance.
You won't go 999 for Dylan Cruz.
I will not.
Are you dedicated at all to Dylan Cruz?
I am so dedicated. I was actually all in for this.
What if we did it for the Yankees? Then you would do it.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah, for Aaron Judge.
Yes. If like Spencer Jones made his debut, then maybe.
The old Clary, you know, he really was committed to the show. He jumped through tables. This Clary, I mean, we can't even get him to eat a hot dog.
He ate that watermelon.
He won't even drink a beer and have a hot dog.
But he very casually dismissed us, by the way. We're like, hey, I think the waterfront's the wharf's the new Georgetown. Yeah, he goes, no, it's not.
Just dismissed.
Anyway, he's like, you old idiots.
But I think, honestly, I mean, I'm just telling you, I was at this gorgeous rooftop event, and it was packed and hopping, and everyone was along the water. Young, good-looking people were partying and drinking and eating and doing all those things. I think that's the new Georgetown.
So the thing is, I realize Ryan's so young, he doesn't know the old Georgetown.
Exactly.
To him, Georgetown's always been this.
His file is very blank on the old Georgetown.
He doesn't know.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. All right, let's get into the wide receiver position and possible fixes. Is there help coming, or is the group already at the park going to have to solve Washington's problems on offense? You're listening to the Fan. And Danny on the Fan. Welcome back. Thanks much for making the show part of your day. We're taking you up to about 6:30. That's baseball tonight at 7:20 on the Fan. Pregame with Charlie and Dave set for right around 6:50. Jahan Dotson's an Eagle. Commanders get a third round pick. They ship a fifth rounder to Philadelphia. News broke yesterday. We talked about it quite a bit on our show. The secondary angle I want to dive into with you right now, though, is would you predict them to make another move or not? We can open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines on this at 800-636-1067. There's been more speculation than I thought nationally about the Commanders making a splash at wide receiver now. In fact, even Mike Silver, who I reached out to try to get on the show today, covers the 49ers out in San Francisco. He was on deadline during our show and was busy. But he said that his sources are telling him, don't count Washington out on Brandon Ayuk. And then all options are still on the table for Ayuk, meaning a extension with San Fran or a trade, be it to Washington or somewhere else. But that was the reaction around the country last night after talking about what Philly got, what Washington got in the trade. The Commanders aren't just going to roll with this receiver group, are they? So I wanted to pose that question on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. We'll hit the phones. They're wide open, 800-636-1067. But, Danny, you get us started. If they made a move for a wide receiver, what do you think that's going to look like?
I don't think it'll be the headliner. I don't think it's a one or a two and a four or a two and the new three that they just got, plus a huge contract, market value for Brandon Ayuk. I don't think they're going headliner. I just don't see that from this group right now. I think if you were going to do that, you would have started maneuvering before instead of leaving yourself behind the eight ball in a slightly weaker position close to season time. I just felt like they would have addressed this at a different point if they felt like they needed to. If there's another move, I'm just picking a name. It's Hunter Renfrow, who's available for anybody right now via free agency. Maybe it's a marginal around the edge trade. Maybe it's a guy that was probably going to get cut. We'll give you the conditional sixth rounder. You can come on board to sort of help our depth. I think they're not looking at this number two receiver the way that we conventionally do on the outside. I think they're looking at it as one guy's going to be a starter on all the running plays or all on this set of packages or in these formations, and everyone's going to have a different role. Terry McLaurin supersedes that. But everybody else, we're going to cobble together a second receiver out of two or three different people. So I don't think they're going to go heavy value for it. I could be wrong.
I think a couple things can be true. I think them viewing wide receiver two differently than a lot of teams is probably accurate. And also, they could still absolutely go make a move to get better at the position because it just helps the young quarterback to have more weapons and to have more people that can help elevate his game. I don't think they'll sign a Renfrow type, because to me, if they were going to do that, why wouldn't you have done it already? They've literally gone outside the building and signed free agent receivers twice.
Yep.
Byron Pringle at the beginning of camp, about a week in, maybe a little under a first week of training camp down, they signed Pringle. And then remember, they went out and got a big receiver with some size when that became a priority. in Martavis Bryant, who they're kicking the tires on. So they could have signed Renfro or any of those other guys at any point. Maybe it's possible that they reached out to one of them and they didn't want to deal with training camp. And they said, come back to me at the end of camp, you know, start of the season, and we'll consider signing with you then. And so I guess that's possible that one of those guys becomes available. But I'm with you if you're asking, do they trade for Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins or, let's say, Cortland Sutton or something? You know, one of these guys that's been rumored at any point the last couple months to be available. Because there was a list at one point in time that was put out of, here are the receivers that you can have in a trade right now. Higgins, Ayuk, Johnson, Judy, Sutton. Two of those guys got traded. Jerry Judy is no longer a Denver Bronco. He's now with the Cleveland Browns. Deontay Johnson left Pittsburgh, and he's now in Carolina with the Panthers. Three of them are still sitting in their organizations. My guess is Higgins plays the year in his contract out on the tag with Cincinnati, and Ayuk very likely has to do the same in San Francisco. He'd be the most likely of those guys to get traded, but I think they're going to sign someone who gets cut, who ends up being a bigger name than Byron Pringle, but basically being the same kind of guy. It'll be someone that when they sign him, we go, oh, maybe this guy will help them a little bit. And in the end, he's going to be Crowder. He's going to be Pringle. It's a veteran, back of the depth chart, doesn't really move the needle a whole lot.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't have a great example, but
I'm just trying to think of a good name.
Let's say if Carolina goes, we're younger now. We like some of our young guys. We don't need Adam Thielen anymore. Now, he's older, but you know what I mean? But someone who, that's a name.
He's going to be, it's not even that level. I'm thinking the Giants cut Isaiah Hodgins.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Something like that.
That bargain DVD tier?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I got you. Thielen would actually, to me, start over the guys they have. That guy caught a lot of balls.
Yes, he did.
Did some really good things last year. The Cleveland Browns released Cedric Tillman, third-round pick a couple years ago. It was like down the depth chart. Mm-hmm. Something like that. It'll be a move where you go
around the edges.
Really? That guy? Okay. On this team, maybe he ends up being better than De'Ami Brown. Maybe Luke McCaffrey's not ready. The Tennessee Titans cut Kyle Phillips or, I don't know, Treylon Burks. He's not getting cut. He's a former first-round pick a couple years ago. Like something like that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And then they're second in the waiver order, and they grab Nick Westbrook-Ikhine from Tennessee.
Because if the question is there a major move coming, I think the answer is no. And I think you and I are in lockstep there.
Yeah, it is not major. I think they make a move. I think there is a wide receiver that may not one of the guys that everyone's wanted them to trade for, let alone Brandon Ayuk. But want to see what you guys think. We'll hit the phones on this next 800-636-1067. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Welcome back. Thanks much for making the show part of your day. We're taking you up to about 6:30. That's baseball tonight at 7:20 on The Fan. Pregame with Charlie and Dave set for right around 6:50. Jahan Dotson's an Eagle. Commanders get a third-round pick. They ship a fifth-rounder to Philadelphia. News broke yesterday. We talked about it quite a bit on our show. The secondary angle I want to dive into with you right now, though, is would you predict them to make another move or not? We can open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines on this at 800-636-1067. There's been more speculation than I thought nationally about the Commanders making a splash at wide receiver now. In fact, even Mike Silver, who I reached out to try to get on the show today, covers the 49ers out in San Francisco. He was on deadline during our show and was busy. But he said that his sources are telling him, don't count Washington out on Brandon Ayuk, and that all options are still on the table for Ayuk, meaning a extension with San Fran or a trade, be it to Washington or somewhere else. But that was the reaction around the country last night. After talking about what Philly got, what Washington got in the trade, the Commanders aren't just going to roll with this receiver group, are they? So I wanted to pose that question on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. We'll hit the phones. They're wide open, 800-636-1067. But, Danny, you get us started. If they made a move for a wide receiver, what do you think that's going to look like?
I don't think it'll be the headliner. I don't think it's a one or a two and a four or a two and the new three that they just got, plus a huge contract market value for Brandon Ayuk. I don't think they're going headliner. I just don't see that from this group right now. I think if you were going to do that, you would have started maneuvering before instead of leaving yourself behind the eight ball in a slightly weaker position close to season time. I just felt like they would have addressed this at a different point if they felt like they needed to. If there's another move, it's I'm just picking a name. It's Hunter Renfrow, who's available for anybody right now via free agency. Maybe it's a marginal around the edge trade. Maybe it's a guy that was probably going to get cut. We'll give you the conditional sixth rounder. You can come on board to sort of help our depth. I think they're not looking at this number two receiver the way that we conventionally do on the outside. I think they're looking at it as one guy's going to be a starter on all the running plays or all on this set of packages or in these formations, and everyone's going to have a different role. Terry McLaurin supersedes that. But everybody else, we're going to cobble together a second receiver out of two or three different people. So I don't think they're going to go heavy value for it. I could be wrong.
I think a couple things can be true. I think them viewing wide receiver two differently than a lot of teams is probably accurate. And also, they could still absolutely go make a move to get better at the position, because it just helps the young quarterback to have more weapons and to have more people that can help elevate his game. I don't think they'll sign a Renfrow type, because to me, if they were going to do that, why wouldn't you have done it already? They've literally gone outside the building and signed free agent receivers twice.
Yep.
Byron Pringle at the beginning of camp, about a week in, maybe a little under a first week of training camp down, they signed Pringle. And then remember, they went out and got a big receiver with some size when that became a priority in Martavis Bryant, who they're kicking the tires on. So they could have signed Renfrow or any of those other guys at any point. Maybe it's possible that they reached out to one of them and they didn't want to deal with training camp. And they said, come back to me at the end of camp, start of the season, and we'll consider signing with you then. And so I guess that's possible that one of those guys becomes available. But I'm with you if you're asking, do they trade for Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins or, let's say, Cortland Sutton or something? You know, one of these guys that's been rumored at any point the last couple months to be available. Because there was a list at one point in time that was put out of, here are the receivers that you can have in a trade right now. Higgins, Ayuk, Johnson, Judy, Sutton. Two of those guys got traded. Jerry Judy is no longer a Denver Bronco. He's now with the Cleveland Browns. Deontay Johnson left Pittsburgh, and he's now in Carolina with the Panthers. Three of them are still sitting in their organizations. My guess is Higgins plays the year in his contract out on the tag with Cincinnati, and Ayuk very likely has to do the same in San Francisco. He'd be the most likely of those guys to get traded. But I think they're going to sign someone who gets cut, who ends up being a bigger name than Byron Pringle, but basically being the same kind of guy. It'll be someone that when they sign him, we go, oh, maybe this guy will help them a little bit. And in the end, he's going to be Crowder. He's going to be Pringle. It's a veteran, back of the depth chart, doesn't really move the needle a whole lot.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't have a great example. but I'm just trying to think of a
good name.
Let's say if Carolina goes, we're younger now. We like some of our young guys. We don't need Adam Thielen anymore. Now, he's older, but you know what I mean? But someone who, that's a name.
He's going to be, it's not even that level. I'm thinking the Giants cut Isaiah Hodgins.
Okay.
Something like that.
That bargain DVD tier?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I got you. Thielen would actually, to me, start over the guys they have. That guy caught a lot of balls.
Yes, he did.
Did some really good things last year. The Cleveland Browns released Cedric Tillman, third-round pick a couple years ago. It was down the depth chart. Mm-hmm. Something like that. It'll be a move where you go
around the edges.
Really? That guy? Okay. On this team, maybe he ends up being better than De'Ami Brown. Maybe Luke McCaffrey's not ready. The Tennessee Titans cut Kyle Phillips or, I don't know, Treylon Burks. He's not getting cut. He's a former first-round pick a couple years ago. Something like that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And then they're second in the waiver order, and they grab Nick Westbrook-Ikhine from Tennessee.
Because if the question is there a major move coming, I think the answer is no. And I think you and I are in lockstep there.
Yeah, it is not major. I think they make a move. I think there's a wide receiver that may not one of the guys that everyone's wanted them to trade for, let alone Brandon Ayuk. But want to see what you guys think. We'll hit the phones on this next 800-636-1067. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.